Hello and welcome. You're listening to Coming Back to Life, the podcast that opens you up to growth and healing that will help you live the life that you desire and deserve the most while loving yourself in the process. I'm your host, Debbie O'Keefe. It's such an honor and a privilege to be here with you today, and I want to thank you for sharing the gifts of your energy and your time with me for this experience. Everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the Coming Back to Life podcast. I am so excited to be with everyone here today and to be bringing on an incredible, mind-blowing speaker today. I have with me Reverend Nicole Hanley, who has come into my life as not just an inspiration, a mentor, a teacher, a friend, but a true soul sister. And I have been so blessed and so touched to make this connection. And before I begin today's episode and get to know a little bit about Reverend Nicole and meeting her, I just want to provide a quick disclaimer that this episode is not in any way going to push any kind of a religious agenda, no kind of advocations of church versus no church. Actually, as you are well aware, my purpose and passion with this podcast is to create clarity through the confusion. And what this episode is to really bust open a lot of the myths and misnomers and misconceptions around spiritualism, faith, and how some of the many ways that formal institutions and churches kind of move against that very idea of the connection and relationships that we're truly meant to be having with the divine creator, with God, whatever identifying version of that source is that you have, as well as with each other. So please, if there is any part of you that is thinking, oh, I'm going to skip this episode, just open your mind, open your hearts to these messages that you're about to receive, because what I can tell you is my conversations with Reverend Nicole came to me at a point in my journey and my life where I needed it most. And throughout the episode, we're going to talk more about that and how this restoration of my own spiritual connection and faith through the help of Reverend Nicole has catapulted not only just my overall healing and wellness, but improving every area and aspect of life in general as a whole. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get to know Reverend Nicole. And she originally hails from Syracuse, New York, attending Cornell University, graduating with a BA. And for the past 20 years, she has resided in the Bronx, working in marketing and professional and academic publishing. And a series of events led her to follow her calling to the ministry, where she was granted 2 awards for work in the parish in May 2022 and has recently been ordained this last year and has come into our local community at the St. Francis and St. Andrew's Church right here in upstate New York. So Reverend Nicole, thank you so much for being with us here today. It's such an honor and a privilege to have you.
It's an honor to be here and to be with you. Love you so much. Love this podcast. I'm flattered to be here.
Love, love, love. And so everyone, what I'm going to say to you about this incredible woman is throughout my spiritual journey and to give a quick spark notes coming through, I was raised in a parochial background, Catholic school, Catholic upbringing. And throughout my life, a lot of events between loss of loved ones, relationship issues, a lot of challenges. I fell into this place where many of us do, where it's like, you know, oh, God doesn't give you any more than you can handle. And you reach a point in your life where you go, you know what? Screw that. I'm not really interested in hearing any of that anymore. And me and God, whatever that is, whoever you are, we're pretty much done. And despite all my upbringing and all my teachings, and what I realized later on in life was that it was actually many of the things that I was taught through formalized religion that kept me very apart, very scared, very distant, and very hesitant to embrace any of that in my life. And as I shared my story, you know, of my experiences with chronic illness and depression and anxiety, that really intensified. And then the pandemic came along, and as I brought church back into my life, the pandemic, you know, took that out again with distance, and it just really kind of went all over the place. As things came back together, I returned back to the small parish that I'm a part of, and Reverend Nicole was brought in. And I knew for many, many weeks this was a woman I needed to connect with. And as I've expressed in many situations before, everything happens in the time and place that it's meant to. And I was dragging my feet for weeks and weeks and weeks, going, yeah, I'll reach out to her. I'll reach out to her. Well, Reverend Nicole is so spiritually tapped in and switched on. And you're going to hear that in this course of this episode, that she approached me and was like, you know what? Been too long. Coffee, when? Here, now. And we just sat together, and 4.5 hours later, I returned home after a chat with her, and a new level of me literally came back to life. And that is what this is all about. And as I was seeking guests for this podcast, there was no question in my top three that Reverend Nicole was someone that was really being called to speak to your heart and share some of the messages, the confirmations, the affirmations that I believe many people are seeking in their life at this point. So we're going to begin. And Reverend Nicole, why don't you share with us a little bit about your spiritual journey and how it is that you have kind of come to the place where you are and those experiences that led you to this place?
Thanks, Debbie. So my spiritual journey started actually in a very formal context. However, my parents weren't religious at all. They were raised Catholic. And so, you know, being Catholic, you think, well, your kids should probably get baptized and they should probably go to Catholic school. So indeed, I went to Catholic school. But when I started, I realized that all the other kids knew prayers, they knew about God. And I didn't even know about God. So my first spiritual experience was sitting on my grandparents' steps at their house in Syracuse. And I felt so bad that I never said hello to God. And so I said, "Hi, God, it's Nicole. I'm so sorry that I haven't said hello before." And that was sort of my start of my spiritual journey. And as I continued in the Catholic faith, I became very committed and I did a lot in that faith. But one of the most powerful things that happened was my best friend that I met. And we connected on a very deep level, another spiritual soul friend. And we even prayed, you know, together in high school, which sounds so incredibly nerdy, and it is, but we loved it. And we became very close. And so I was godmother to his kids and all of that. And at a certain point in our 20s, he came out. He came out as gay and as a transgender man. And that really shook the core of my faith because I was taught in that particular expression of faith that Aaron's very existence and identity as a man was not real. It wasn't accepted. And I had to make this choice, which I think is a false choice. It's that choice that you're forced to make, But really, there are more options, right, than the false choice. The choice between staying in that expression of faith and being friends with my very dear friend and his identity. And so I had to choose, right? I had to choose because I could not stay aligned with an expression of faith that denied his existence. So I made the very painful decision to leave that expression of faith. And so I journeyed on and I struggled a lot. I didn't go to church. The bottom fell out in faith. I had no faith.
Wow.
For a good 6 months, nothing. I didn't believe in any of it. It was so scummy. It was just scummy for me. And Aaron, actually being a very good friend, said, you know, Nicole, I think you're struggling and you're suffering. And I think there might be another expression of faith for you that might be more of a home for you. And that was the Episcopal Church. Now, I will say not everybody is called to be Episcopal. Not everybody is called to be in any formal religious institution. But for me, it was indeed home. And I journeyed to even feel a call. And actually, it was being in the context of people being authentically themselves, they could be fully out, that I found my call. My call as a woman to be a priest, which wouldn't have been possible had I stayed. So it was that really brought me, right? So.
Wow. So we're about, 6 minutes in. And as I'm sitting here and I'm listening and I'm noting, like, I can't receive the messages here quick enough. I can't process this. So there are so many things unfolding here in this very conversation and just a simple spark notes of your journey. And this is just the many things that we're touching on here. And I'm just going to take these in the order that I heard them. And the first being in the sense of this idea that, being brought up in this way, and it was like, well, my parents themselves weren't religious, but they were Catholic. And, since they were Catholic, I should be Catholic. I should be baptized. I was supposed to be. And this is what we do. And this is something, I mean, I can identify in my own experiences. And there was so much of this, in my own getting married. And, my husband is, he's Christian, but non-denominational. And what do I do with my kids? And it was funny, like coming into the church, it was, how do I, what do we do with communion? And they're like, what do you mean? What do we do with that? Like all these questions and these structures of what was right, what was wrong, what you should do, what you're supposed to do. And, I know one of the biggest things was as I was getting married was this idea of like, well, are we supposed to get married Catholic? And, do we do this and do we that? And, we chose to get married outside October. The foliage was like Norman Rockwell perfect at the top of the mountains, every color of like Bob Ross couldn't have done a better job painting the mural. and we were married by my kindergarten teacher, who was a former Catholic nun, who is now an interfaith minister, female, outside, no church. You couldn't have gotten more non-Catholic than that. But in my heart, I had this innate knowing that there was no greater way of bringing God into my experience of my union with a person that I had such a deep soulful connection, like, than to get married in the beauty of what was created by God, by a person who had such a part of my upbringing. I mean, you couldn't have asked for anything, but in the eyes of church, technically I am excommunicated. I'm no longer Catholic in the eyes of the Catholic Church because I didn't follow the rules. I didn't bring my husband to the classes, and I haven't, you know, my children were baptized interfaith Christian, and certified that they can receive communion and all these wonderful things. But if I, to this day, go to a funeral or a wedding and there is Eucharist, I am told by Catholic priests, oh, no. You put your hands over your chest and you get our little token blessing. You get your little participation award just for coming. But no. And this is something, you know, and it's funny because there's so much, you know, how do we get more people to church and the Catholic Church? What, you know, well, for starters, how about we stop telling people you're not welcome here or you're excluded or any of these things? And this idea that your first introduction to prayer was, hey, God, what's up? It's me, Nicole. Nice to meet you. Hope to chat again soon. Like, it was just so casual. You didn't drop to your knees and beg for forgiveness for, you know, for not doing all the other stuff, right? And you talk about this idea about it feeling scummy, right? And I just, I love that word. I just love it. And I love hearing from someone who is literally a part of it all to go, you know what? You're right for it to say it feels that way. Because you know what? It is. And again, this is not in any way to disparage organized religion of any kind. As you are hearing, Reverend Nicole and I, we do attend a formal church. Is that to say that everybody needs to? No. And this idea behind your relationship with your friend Aaron, and once again, this is about opening our hearts and our minds to ideas of what it is to live truly authentically. And that was a word that you brought up that in today's day and age, it's thrown around so willy-nilly that people don't even know what that word means anymore. Everybody thinks I'm authentic, I'm real, because I dyed my hair pink and I'm doing me and I'm just living life and I'm being real. This is me, real, hashtag real. No, that is not what authenticity is. And your experience, regardless of where anybody stands on the subject of, you know, transgender or homosexuality or organized religion or anything, when you were faced in this position, and this is what we're really going to talk about here, of any circumstance. And when we talk about this idea about truly living authentically, an authentic expression, and authentic relationships, an authentic connection, that anything that puts you in a position of needing to choose between the heart and soul and receiving of love from a genuine human being versus belonging to a group, an organization, and an acceptance of a set of rules, that you in your heart just knew, this feels wrong. I can't do this. And when we think about these ideas of like, well, what is that? I don't understand. Like, what does that mean? So you're turning your back on God to go be with your friend who wants to be transgender. Like, what does this all mean? Because I know there's a lot of confusion around this. And many who are listening are probably mind blown. Like, whoa, hold on. Reverend Nicole has a transgender friend and she, you know, has all these things and where everybody stands on these issues. So I'd really like for you to share more and speak about what it is that you have discovered and what it is that you have imparted into my life and hope to bring to so many, about this distance that we have with our spiritual connection and this resistance that we have to being truly authentic and what that means to you and what it is that God, divine creator, the universe, whatever connection it is that people have, what it is that is really wanted there. Like, there's so much here. I know it's like a very multi-layered thing. You're like, well, where do I start?
Yeah, that's a very big question, Debbie. Very big question. But let me start from the prism of love, right? That is the core. And that where I think we have so many layers on top of what we're supposed to do in our spiritual life, and where actually we feel the disconnect, where we don't feel love or we don't feel allowed to love in a particular way. I think that in part is what's going on here. Going back to various expressions of faith, I will tell you, I still have very close people in my life who are Catholic. And I will tell you something. Here's the secret. What that choice that I was forced to make, what that was showing, was this disconnect between what it's all about in terms of sacraments, in terms of our relationship with God. So we talk about a sacrament being this outward sign of an inward truth. So in other words, communion, what we say is it's the body and blood of Jesus, right? And what is that all about? What is that all about? It's about this gift of love that God is giving to us. It is a meal. It is a point of connection. So we have to think about what we do when we say, you are not allowed to come to the table to receive this gift of love. What does that feel like? That is an expression of exclusion. It's an expression of exclusion. All of the things we're supposed to be doing in the very formal context should be about love. They shouldn't be about the shoulds. It shouldn't be about the, am I good enough? Am I worthy enough to receive this? Am I worthy enough to be here? We are all in some way unworthy. But here's the secret. God isn't looking at the unworthiness. God is looking at our belovedness. And that's, I think, what gets in the way, right? But here's the thing. Not everybody feels comfortable doing formal religion, but everyone feels spiritual. And I think this is the important thing to bring out here, right? It's about relationship. We all need to be in relationship. We're not meant to be alone. We're not meant to be alone. So I think the secret sauce here is skimming off that scum that rises to the top, which is self-righteousness, it's exclusion, it's hate, it's shame, and saying, actually, no. The point is for us to be who we are created to be, however that might look. Who are we authentically? And you know it's authenticity when you feel that exposure, when you feel like your underbelly is being exposed and you want to hide it. You want to hide it, right? Authenticity is saying, okay, I'm going to expose my underbelly and be who I am. It's terrifying. It's terrifying to do that. But that is the only place where I believe we can find connection and true belonging. True belonging when we feel our belovedness and our worthiness. That's what makes it possible. And I often hope for a world in which we all can come together in our worthiness and our love, and we can be whatever we think church is or God. We become that in the world.
Right. So, I mean, you're already answering like this burning question that as I'm listening to you, you know, at Reverend Nicole, one of the most mind-blowing connections is, you know, when I met her, she's like, you know, you're incredibly intuitive, you know that? And I was like, oh, wow. Let's talk about exposing that underbelly, right? Because here I was coming, one of the biggest things that was contributing to the inflammation in my body, I came to realize was the resistance of the natural gifts that I had been given. A lot of this came from indoctrine beliefs and shaming of what was taboo and not okay. And it was, you know, and we have this with so many different things, whether it's political beliefs, whether it's religious beliefs, whether it's, you know, segregation and racism and discrimination and everything it is that we have, of just living in a world of judgment and taking this idea that our judgments, we weave them into this little thing about, well, this is my belief and this is my judgment and here's my religious background. So all of this says you're bad because X, Y, Z, right? And as I came and I, you know, I, you know, rolled over and, you know, my underbelly was there like a dog on its back. Like, yeah, so here's the thing. I'm intuitive. I'm an empath. And she's like, yeah, no kidding. I knew that the minute you walked in the door. And this unconditional acceptance of, I was like, are you sure? Cause you're a priest and this isn't supposed to be okay. And she's like, have you read the Bible? Are you familiar with prophets? Hello. And just this like mind blowing, you know, I use this expression a lot when I work, it keeps coming up. And I share this with Reverend Nicole in our talk, and I've shared this with many people I work with, that this repeating message keeps coming up to me that I'm delivering one person at a time. And it's so simple, yet so complicated at the same time, where I keep getting told, forget everything you think you know. Forget whatever it is that you think you know. And for the longest time when I was hearing that, I was like, what do you mean by that? And if I'm going to explain this to people, I need this, it has to make sense to me. And what I got is it's going to make sense for every person at the level at which it's meant to. So for some, this could be forget whatever it is that you think you know about God's love and what that means. Forget everything you've ever been told is the definition of authenticity. When we talk about spiritualism, what does that mean? Everything's about what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? And if we get out of our heads and stop with the what we think everything is supposed to mean, and Reverend Nicole, if I'm understanding correctly, you are speaking to the heart of exactly what this podcast and everything it is that this message is to be about, is to get out of your head and stop with what you think everything is supposed to be and mean and get back into yourself and what feels right and true to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have to forget everything we've been told about who we are, what we're supposed to do, and how we're not measuring up in some way or another. We have to forget that so that we can actually come back, be ourselves, and have a greater capacity to love others and meet them where they are. Because here's the thing. We can't be empathetic to other people if we're so critical and harsh on ourselves. It's not possible.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and we talk about that all the time. Oh, you have to love yourself before you love other people. And again, that's another thing that's been printed on so many t-shirts. People are just like, yep, don't even know what that means anymore, right? When we talk about self-love and self-acceptance and self-expression, and how can we possibly open up if we're closed off to ourselves? If we, this word came up so strong for me, I know in my own healing, and this is where I get very vulnerable and I love this, is one of the things that was the hardest truth that I had to learn about myself was my absolute concentrated intolerance of myself. Intolerance of any flaws that I believed I had, intolerance of any imperfections, absolute unforgiveness and intolerance of any mistakes that I had made. And I always thought that was just me being hypercritical of me. But little by little, as I opened up to that idea, it's like, whoa, my standards for other people are a little high there too. Oh, ouchie. And I'm not going to lie, that was a huge metaphysical frying pan across my head that hurt for a while. But in the courage to accept that about myself and to open my heart to the basis of those intolerances and to realize, and here was the biggest part, how little of those things were based on my own beliefs. rather things that were passed down, things that were told to me. It's like, wow, how much of this is really me? And once I was able to skim that scum off the top and go and throw it in the can, that coffee can that we keep buried under our sink with all that nastiness, and scrap that thing in the garbage, I was like, ooh, there's some deliciousness left under here, right? And I thought it was so funny when Reverend Nicole came and she's like, oh, there's this layer at the top. I'm like, oh my gosh, I use that analogy all the time. I talk about when we make the sauce or soup and you scum off the, you know, the grease, all that yummy stuff is left. And if we can just cut through the noise, it's so noisy out there. There's so much coming at you about what to believe and where to go and how to do it, how much to throw on the connection plate and when you don't eat meat and when you do eat meat and what you my great grandmother used to say, God cares more about what comes out of your mouth than what goes in it. And I always thought that was so powerful. Because I want to ask you, Reverend Nicole, this is one of those things that it's like, okay, well, so what are you saying, that all these people that, you know, everybody who goes to church, we're wrong and we're hypocrites? And we're, that is not what we're saying here. And I think what we're getting to is that everything is about intention. And the authenticity behind the motivation that leads you to do the things and make the choices that you do. Hey everybody, Debbie O'Keefe here, and I hope you've been enjoying the episode so far. I'm here to share with you two new, incredibly exciting opportunities to work, learn, and grow alongside me, and to take the next step in your journey and to go even deeper. You can learn more on my website, deborahokeefe.com. The first is the Coming Back to Life membership, where every week you will receive a unique intuitive download based on experiences in my own life and in the workings of others that reveal the guidance, the messages, and the insights that will take you along the way to make the changes and take action in your life to live as your best self. The second opportunity is the Rising Together Women's Community. This is a unique sisterhood, a tribe of belonging, where we all come together to create the support, the sense of belonging, and the endless uplifting inspiration that you need to maintain committed and to stay on track to make the changes and take action to live the life that you are meant for as everything you were created to be. Each of these opportunities are being made available on a sliding scale where you can pay at the level that is comfortable and right and best for you. No matter which level of contribution you choose, you will receive the same benefits, because I never want anything to stand in the way of your desire to help yourself and live your best life. If you'd like to learn more, you can check me out at deborahokeefe.com or message me at info@deborahokeefe.com. I look forward to being with you real soon and taking the next step in our journey together. So, what are your feelings for anybody out there who is listening right now, who's like, look, I don't go to church. I've never been to church, or I did, and I'm so done with that. And I'm never going back because I don't want to. Because I don't like it and it's not for me and I've never felt good. And one thing that many people tell me is that when they say, when I'm sitting in church, I actually feel worse than I do if I'm taking a hike or I'm just together with people talking. And where do you stand on all this in terms of, I guess what we're getting at is more about those shoulds and rights and wrongs of how it is that people recharge and strengthen themselves spiritually.
Such a great question. And first, I just, for anybody who's having those feelings about church being, you feel worse, or you've had bad experiences, I just want to acknowledge the truth of those feelings. It's so important that we actually acknowledge this, because as church people, we have hurt people. We have hurt people. And I want to acknowledge your pain. And I want to say, I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry that you have been hurt, that you have experienced a weaponized version of God's love.
Wow.
I am sorry. And so I want to affirm your experiences of God and love wherever you may find them, because it's not in the building. It's not in the building. It's in those experiences of connection and love. If you are on a hike and you see beauty and you think, oh, this is beautiful, and your heart melts, that is an experience of a higher power of God. Mm-hmm. When you are connecting with somebody very deeply, especially somebody you love, and you connect together, that is an experience of God. Those experiences of meeting new people and you think, wow, I just needed to meet this person. I needed to hear that today. That is an experience of God. Those moments when you're struggling and you can't even get out of bed, but you get up anyway because you have to take care of your kids. That resilience, that getting up, is an experience of God. So I want to affirm that. That's important that we understand that those moments of connection are God experiences. Because what God does is God unites. God unites. And anything that tries to separate us, disconnect us from our truth, from our experiences of connecting with others, that is the opposite of God. That is the absence of God.
That is so huge on so many levels, in the sense, you know, this is literally, you know, and what was so powerful for me, and what I hope that everyone is receiving in their time with you, and the message that I hope that everyone is getting that is so strong that Reverend Nicole is imparting here, is that if you are in a place where it's like, look, I don't know what I believe in. I don't. And I don't even know where I belong. I don't know what's real. I don't know, you know, and I can feel it. I can feel the energy every time Reverend Nicole is saying that word God. There's this somewhat repellent throat constriction that's coming up. And what I can feel are people saying, yeah, but this, like, this identification that God is the white bearded man up in the cloud who's in charge of everything. And I'm going to finish this thought, but I really want to come to that idea because that is so huge. It's so huge. And we're going to be bold. I want to know if you're with me all the way, Reverend Nicole, because I'm asking you to go all in if you're brave enough to do this. What this has been about is really blowing the lid off of stuff that's keeping us from living, keeping us out of life. And that if you're in this place, you're like, I don't know what I believe. I don't know, you know, if I even believe in God, because it's not this idea of what you've been told it is and what to believe and that divisiveness of what you have. But you know what? I feel like I'm a good person. And I really try to be respectful and kind to everybody when I go out. And I'm very open and understanding, you know, I may not agree with everybody, but I can agree to disagree and at least agree to be civil to people. I'm a hard worker, I'm honest, and I try my best every day. Then you're living it. You're living it. And that's enough.
Let me just say, it's enough. These are all good and important things to be doing in the world. We need more people to be good people. Not everybody has the capacity to be good. So many of us are in pain and are struggling. So please go and be good people in the world. That is living, living in our belovedness. And that, living in our belovedness, that is what God's about. But here's the other thing, though. We think we need to take it on all ourselves and just be individual good people in the world doing the right thing. But remember, we talked about connection. We talked about relationship. We're not meant to be alone. So find your people. Find the people that you can be your authentic self with, who can do good things in the world. And let those people form community, because that is all church was ever meant to be. A group of people coming together, doing good in the world, believing in their belovedness and believing in the power of resurrection. And all resurrection is that belief that love is stronger than death. Mm. And death can be loss. It can be the things that are exclusionary. It can be shame. All of those experiences, guess what? They don't get the last word.
Mm.
Love gets the last word. And we do that in community with others.
Oh, you're taking me down that yellow brick road. I can't. So, I mean, there's so many things here, and Reverend Nicole and I talked this idea about you know, death and the role. I know you're like, wow, that's a really morbid topic, Deb. I can't believe this, but we're bringing Reverend Nicole back on again for an entire episode on grief and loss and death, and how that is such a powerful force that actually keeps us afraid of living. So we have a huge episode planned on that. And there's two points that I really want to bring home here. First, I'm going to mention very quickly was going back to this idea, because I saw, you know, we're doing audio on this, but I also have video here with Reverend Nicole that was like, yeah, keep it going. Yeah. About this. I just want to blow it out there big time. This idea that God is one thing, one person. Okay. The pictures, the imageries, the statues. I just want it's not even 2 cents. I mean, what you have is invaluable in terms of, you know, what it is that you contribute about your feelings about the identification with God, how important and relevant it is and significant, what your beliefs, I mean, anything you want to share about that to speak to the hearts of people that are like, yeah, I'm not about that.
Yeah. You know, when I was in seminary, I had a very good friend. She is now in the Diocese of Bethlehem. She is a priest out there, but on her computer, she would have this bumper sticker. And I loved it every time I was in class with her, because what it said was, God is not a boy's name.
I love that.
And I thought, oh, right. Because I think we do think of God being the male, white beard, oppressive,
mm-hmm.
all powerful, all judging, all knowing, and it's terrifying.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Here's the thing, though. God is beyond all of our conceptions of gender, all of the ways we want to anthropomorphize God, right?
Mm-hmm.
God is beyond all of that. That can be scary. And when we think of something that's beyond, we tend to think of power and judgment.
Yeah.
But right. What if we thought about beyond being so other that it liberated us from the chains we have on each other? Mm. So in other words, if God is all other, then there's creativity there. Mm-hmm. There's openness, there's possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And it means that however we constrict ourselves isn't the full truth. That in mm-hmm. fact, maybe God is about liberating us from the ways in which we imprison each other. Maybe God is about creativity. Maybe God is about that stillness and that silence. And more importantly, maybe God is about the tenderness, about pleasure, which we often think is the opposite of what we should be doing in our spirituality. Right?
So you are right there with me, because that was the next part of this is, and you actually took it to another, a twofold question. So I'm going to go here, because this is so huge. And one being that when you were talking about, you know, this idea of community and connection and doing things along with everybody, you know, you have been doing such powerful work in talking about this idea of, you know, Reverend Nicole echoes, you know, what I say so much is that it's in the being, not the doing. And it's not about what you do for people. And not to say that that's not important. And, you know, everything in terms of the teachings of, you know, love one another, love thy neighbor, da 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 da. This idea that people fall into these patterns of self-sacrifice. Oh, right.
Oh, sacrifice.
Oh, the life of the martyr and the sacrificial, I call it sacrificial lamb syndrome, because we just throw ourselves on the rack and let everybody take pieces off of ourselves till there's nothing left for ourselves.
Yep.
And my coming to life moment with Reverend Nicole was so much of the sharing of this idea that we are not meant, our lives are not meant for suffering for others. That is not the righteous way, you know, this idea that to be an honorable and memorable person and to score those heavenly points is to just give and be and do and give and be and do, to the point that you are literally depleted. There is nothing left of yourself. And I know, and I can remember those pivotal moments in my teaching of a young formative mind, learning these concepts of God and commandments and what everything was supposed to be, that they really shaped me into this fear and guilt and shame around anything that derived any form of pleasure. Like if it felt good to me, it was bad. Like if it felt right, it was wrong. If it felt good, it was bad, because God wants you to be for everybody else, because that's the way love goes. And having this incredible discussion, you know, you had so much to say around the importance around self-care and self-love and boundaries. Hello, boundaries. And how much God wants us to have boundaries and needs us to, and all of these things. So if you could speak a bit, because this was, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, this was literally the green light I needed to open my life to myself. And I kept saying to those closest to me, I said, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I'm doing all the work, the self-work, the self-work. But what I felt was missing for me was this support, the confirmation, the affirmation that everything I felt within me was what was wanted and what was right for me. I needed somebody else to cut through my confusion and give me clarity in my confusion with all of the noise and the stories and the ideas, help me forget what it was that I thought I knew about, quote unquote, God's love for me and the love that I was meant for, and this experience of life as we are created to experience it. Wow, I want to say that one more time, because that came through so divinely inspired that it's not mine. The love that we were created to receive and this version of life that we were created to experience, not in the ways that we are taught and told quite frankly, as I'm understanding, as you are reaffirming here, Reverend Nicole, not in the ways we are told for the benefit and service of others. Because what we do agree on is that formal religion has manipulated. It has twisted and turned and upside down so many things for the purpose of control and fear.
Yeah, I want to speak to that. You know, I want to say a couple of things. I think that formalized religion is not even necessarily the enemy. The enemy are the people in power in formal expressions of religion who have weaponized what was meant to be going on in the first place. I do want to say that those who have been in power in terms of the narrative of how we're meant to be good, faithful people in the world has often been from the vantage point of a male perspective. And that is how it's been over the years. And as you know, there have been gender expectations that have been put on people that have been very binary. They've been either male or female. And the way our theology has developed over the years is that we are sinful human beings in need of reminding ourselves that we are always under God, and that we need to get outside of ourselves in order to serve others. That is how we know we are faithful people in the world.
Yes.
Part of that conditioning, though, is because the way people are conditioned to be male, who are male identified, is that they need to be in control. They need to be in power. They need to run the world, so to speak. And so they need to think about themselves and their persona and what they project outward. And that can actually be very imprisoning and shaming to many men in the world. But that's what they've been taught. And so the reason we have this language of sacrifice of, hey, don't think about yourself, is that for so many years, men have been taught that they have to think about themselves in order to be strong, in order to be in charge. And it's a reminder, a correction, that actually there's a dark side to that, which is that you can become selfish, that it can be all about you, that you make God in your own image. And so we have that, right, as a narrative. But what it doesn't account for are for the ways in which we condition women to think that their goodness is how much they serve and nurture and care for others. And so this idea, this message of gets outside of yourself becomes especially oppressive to women and people who are often put in the role of serving others. It can become the point at which you have to almost bleed yourself dry in order to be a good, faithful person in the world. And those are destructive messages. So it's not about the sacrifice. It's about the living. It's about the love. And that often does manifest itself in serving others, but it's not the sacrifice. It's not the sacrifice.
Well, and if you don't mind, as we get close to wrapping up here, you know, tying in, and you brought this up, something else. And I do briefly want to say, you know, for anyone who, you know, is listening, let's be clear, there is nothing happening here where we're getting on, you know, there's no kind of, you know, male bashing or, you know, feminism or anything like that. You know, what we're talking about is exactly these antiquated ideas.
Yeah, let me speak to that. I do want to just make a point. The point about talking about patriarchy and male and female isn't to suggest that there's anything wrong with maleness or male perspectives. And in fact, I think the ways we're conditioned in the either or actually is oppressive to both men and women.
Exactly.
Right? So I love my men and I love my women. And we're all struggling together, right?
Yep.
To be who we are. And that's why we keep talking about authenticity and getting out of the goods, you know. And I think it's so important.
But I want to speak just a bit about, an idea that you were tying in terms of sacrifice and what it is that you have to say about what holds so many of us back. And I do have to say, particularly women, around this idea of wanting. Okay, these moms that are like, I know I should be grateful. I should be grateful, because such a big thing in the spiritual development world is practice an attitude of gratitude, right? Start your day every day with your attitudes of gratitudes and your beatitudes of gratitudes and gratitude, gratitude, another word that's just thrown around. And I tried to adopt that, right? I started my gratitude journal, but I noticed it started to make me feel worse. Why? Because behind that word gratitude was this embedded belief that anything you have that was better or more than those who had less was shameful and sinful and greedy and wrong. So gratitude was translating to guilt. So this idea behind that, it's okay to have good things, to receive payment for services. That, you know, that was a big thing. And so many people, you know, breaking into business, oh, I don't, I feel guilty taking money and charging, and money is the root of all evil, you know, or physical pleasure. Yes, we're going there, of intimate connections and relationships with people. This guilt that has been instilled around this idea of feeling good and having good in your life
comes back to this point about pleasure and about the good things that we have. We're so busy being told that we have to be a certain way and that, you know, we shouldn't have the things that we have, that we're sort of a shell of ourselves, right? And then actually these are blessings that God is giving us, right? These blessings of intimacy, blessings of health, these are blessings. And so we don't want to curse them. And the whole point of gratitude isn't to say, well, look, I have all of these things and these other people don't have them. That's not the point of gratitude.
Right.
It's not the point of gratitude. It's not comparison. So I think that's what happens with so many people with gratitude, that we start to compare with other people. I have this over this person. That's not gratitude. That's making a comparative list in your head of the things you have versus what other people have. Gratitude is saying, wow, you know, things are really bad, and they are, and they're hard, and I struggle. But, you know, actually, when I think about it, right now, I'm enjoying this in my life. I'm enjoying the fact that my kid came home and made me a picture. I'm enjoying that. I have gratitude that I have a child, that I have this work of art from this child, and that I can put it on the refrigerator. And that just makes me happy every time I look at it. That's a blessing. That's important not to minimize that in our life. But gratitude, to your point, is so, I think, misunderstood, right? You know, Brené Brown talks about this. She talks about how when people go to war and they come back where they've had really traumatic experiences, that they're grateful for not the big things in their life, but like the simple things. Like, I wasn't able to use a working toilet. And I came home and I was able to use that. I mean, and you think, gratitude for that? What? But actually, indoor plumbing, you know, I think we all can be grateful for that, right?
Yeah.
It's the small things. It's the small, real things that make the difference in our lives. I'm thinking about, I was on the border and I had this wonderful talk by a priest who was working in the tent communities that would rise up on the border. And what she noticed was there are all these children who weren't going to school because they were waiting to have their cases processed, right, with immigration. And so she and a group of other people set up a school on the border. And it was just a place for these kids to go and have a normal sense of, okay, I'm going to school and I'm learning something. And that made such an impact for those children and for those parents who were there. And it was the small, real things that make a difference. And it's the small, real things that actually, those are the things we actually have gratitude for, that feeling of, wow, this is a blessing. right? That's where gratitude, I think, comes in.
So what can you say to those people who on the opposite side of the spectrum, rather than, oh, look what I have that other people don't, those people who have difficulty connecting with the gratitude of what it is that they have out of the sorrow or the guilt of that comparison, you know, I have this beautiful home and there's so many people that are homeless right now. And I feel so guilty having this. And I do have these healthy children, but I have that friend and she has a special needs child and I feel so guilty. How can you speak to help the hearts of those people?
I think that's usually coming from a place of compassion and a care for all of the pain and sorrow around us. And it's not a comparison game. So that person who has, let's say, the special needs child, what they probably don't need is your guilt that you don't have a special needs child. What they need is your presence and love. And so I would say to reframe that feeling of guilt is to say, okay, how can I be more present to my friend who has this child with special needs? Or, gee, there are a lot of people who are homeless right now. How can I turn my heart to be present with them in some way? And it's a way of connecting and being present rather than this kind of crippling feeling of guilt that I have this and these other people don't.
Right. I mean, and the affirmation too that in you having that, you didn't take it from another person.
No. And it's not that, you know, that you shouldn't therefore have that blessing. Right. Because I think sometimes we think we shouldn't have the blessings that we have.
Right. It goes back to that subject of worthiness. You know, what makes me worthy to have this, and the belief that, you know, maybe someone was less than in the fact that they don't have that. So, I mean, I feel like we could go on forever and days, and we will be back. But as we wrap up here, Reverend Nicole, is there anything else that you would like to share with everyone as, you know, a parting message, just to recap or wrap all of this together?
One of the messages that I keep preaching about, and I think it's so important to share, is that wherever you are in your spiritual journey, please know that you are worthy of love and belonging just because you are you.
Could you say that one more time?
So wherever you are, whether you are a person who's attending anything institutional or not, if you're seeking, if you're searching, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are worthy of love and belonging. Just because you are who you are, your core, your being, you are worthy of love and belonging.
And that is why you are here. That is, without a doubt, the entire encompassing purpose in having you here, to spread that message far and wide into the hearts and minds of everyone who is listening, everyone that this can be shared with, because if there is one message that is so needed in this world more than ever, it's that we all belong, we are all worthy. We are all worthy of love, regardless of any difference, no matter where that is or where we are in our walks and our journeys. Reverend Nicole, I want to thank you with my whole heart for making space and time in your day to be here with us and to share all of your insights and all of your experiences. It's been a gift and a privilege. I want to invite anyone and everyone who has any responses, reactions, questions that you'd like to bring to click on the link found in the podcast or email me at info@deborahokeep.com, and we would be happy to field any questions to Reverend Nicole. We could even do another whole episode just on Q&As. I welcome that experience. And I want to invite everyone back for our next guest on the next episode. We have another incredible interview coming up. And until then, wishing you all light, love, great blessings, health, happiness in every aspect of your life. This is Debbie O'Keefe wishing you well, thanking you, sending you much love. Take care. Bye.